Many moons ago, when I studied philosophy as part of my degree in college, sorry, I should have said for the boys and girls to head on out, see, I knew I'd forget something. Great. Fantastic. I'll rewind there. And many years ago, whenever I studied philosophy as part of my degree in Coleraine, I recall having to study the writings of Bertrand Russell. Have you ever heard of Bertrand Russell? No, well, that's a picture of him in the screen, and he looks happy, doesn't he? Well, if you had to study philosophy, that's probably what you would look like as well. But he's dead now, but he was interviewed whenever he was 81 on BBC Radio. And he was asked what he had to hold on to in his old age. Russell was brutally honest when he said, "I have nothing to hang on to but grim, unyielding despair." Isn't that rough? 81 years of age, what did he have to look forward to in the future? And he said, "I have nothing to look forward to, nothing to hang on to, only grim, unyielding despair." You see, a life lived without God, as Russell's was, inevitably will be a life of unyielding despair. And that is particularly true regarding the future for someone who doesn't believe in God. In fact, it is even worse than unyielding despair. Because for Bertrand Russell, he believed that there was nothing that lay ahead of the grave. He has discovered something very different today. He has discovered that if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ, that there is something much worse than unyielding despair, and that it is an eternity spent in hell. Let's look at the background for this passage, and please do turn with me again in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 37. It's page 868 in your pew Bibles. It's one of those more difficult books to find, although it's quite a large one. But it's Ezekiel 37 we're looking at. Now, this is a well-known passage because of a song that was prominent back in my youth. Probably the younger ones won't know it. The song was, "Dem bones, dem bones, dem." See, the older ones all knew that. If you want to know how it goes, I'll sing it for you young people a little bit later. But in the song, you talk about how the head bone's connected to the neck bone. The neck bone's connected to the shoulder bone. The shoulder bone's connected to the... See, you haven't a clue. That was always the one that shook me. So I listened to it. Shoulder bone's connected to the backbone, and so it goes on. We know this song pretty well, but that kind of arises out of this particular passage. And we find Israel here in a terrible state. When we look at the background to all of this, we discover that Israel at this time is in exile. They no longer are in Jerusalem, and the temple has been destroyed. And they are yearning, at least some of Israel is yearning, to be able to get back again, to get out of exile, and to have that freedom to worship God in the temple. Sadly, I think it's probably a fairly small number of the Israelites, because the problem is that things are pretty dire in Israel at this time. And it seems to be exemplified by an absolute deadness that was existent in Israel. And so we see the scene set out for us here. Ezekiel mourns for the state of things in Israel. It is dead. But the good news is that God has a vision for Israel. There is a clear message of hope for us set out in this passage this evening. And surely, if this was a message that was essential for Ezekiel's day and age, it is a message that is essential for ours today as well. Maybe for those of us who are a little bit longer in the tooth, we have found our way to live out our faith with our own generation. But can I suggest to you that it is much more difficult for the younger generation? I certainly can't remember the sort of antagonism towards Christianity in my youth as there is for today's young generation. And therefore this message, I trust, will be of relevance to us today. There is a message of hope. And here is the message of hope. The first part of it is, God opens eyes. God opens eyes. Jack earlier on referred to my terrible humor all week. Well, I'm going to give you a little taste of it now. And you won't laugh at the end of this, and I'll understand that, but I just couldn't resist doing this. But Larry and Elmer got lost in the woods whilst out hunting. And trying to reassure his friend, Larry said, "Don't worry, all we have to do is to shoot 3 times in the air. Stay where we are, and someone will come to find us." So they shot 3 times in the air, but no one came. After a while, they tried once more, but still no response. When they decided to try yet another time, Elmer said, gotta listen carefully, Elmer says, "I hope it works this time, because we're now down to our last 3 arrows. Okay, that was good. Some of you got that. That's a pretty hopeless situation. Matthew's cringing at that one. That's a pretty hopeless situation, isn't it? And I don't know if you've ever felt as though you're in an utterly hopeless situation, but I guess that's pretty much how Ezekiel felt at this time. He had been preaching to the people, trying to encourage them to come back to love and worship and serve God again, but he discovered that the people had no thought of God in their lives at all. And it seems pretty hopeless. And then we find this amazing vision that Ezekiel receives. Look with me at verse 1 of Ezekiel 37. "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones." Ezekiel is carried to a valley that is full of extremely dry bones. Now I want you to picture that scene with me. I'm going to let you close your eyes just for a moment or two this evening. You have to open them again, I warn you. But you can close them just for a minute or two just to picture this in your mind. This place where Ezekiel is carried to is very white, very dry. There are bones all over the place. In fact, they've been scattered by the wild animals so that there is nothing but bones as far as the eye can see. You look in front of you, to the side, behind you. Everywhere you look, right out to the horizon, there is nothing but bones. If you step forward, you step on top of bones, and they're dry bones, so they crack underfoot. You can open your eyes again. For Ezekiel, this is a vision of the nation of Israel. Now there is no way that Israel could possibly get themselves out of this situation. Everything, therefore, seemed utterly, utterly hopeless. Israel, the nation, was like dry, dead bones. What a depressing picture. I don't want you to go out of here depressed tonight. And that's why we're looking at how it is God can open eyes. But maybe this picture describes some here this evening. At one time, as a child of God's, you were alive and vibrant. You were living for the Lord, but you've allowed a sort of deadness to creep into your soul. You've allowed a dryness to take over where once there seemed to be this river that was flowing through you. And to all intents and purposes, as others look at you, it would appear that you're lifeless, spiritually speaking. And maybe as you look around you, things seem utterly hopeless. Things have gone wrong in your life. Your life is a mess, or at least it's not how you want it to be. And tonight you see yourself in a valley of dead, dry bones. Look with me at verse 3. The Lord here speaking, he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" What a question to ask. Everything around speaks of death. The bones don't even have any flesh attached to them. They are dead and dry. And the Lord then asks Ezekiel the question, can these bones live? If you were there, what would your reply likely be? Let me know. No. That's what I would say. If I was there in a valley that looked like that, I would reply no to the Lord. But look at what Ezekiel says. I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. That's a much more faith-filled answer than mine would have been. You see, the thing is, where we may not see much hope, yet the Lord may be able to change that situation. Maybe it's hard for you to imagine your situation ever getting better. Maybe it's hard to imagine life beyond your present circumstances. And Israel has been taken captive by Babylon, and Ezekiel can't see much hope for his people, but yet he answers God's question. It's up to you, Lord. You're in control. You know. Where do we see these dry bones today? Can I suggest two places where we might see them today? For example, we might see them in the church. Dennis Cox describes bony Christians in the church today. He talks about tailbone Christians. He says they're the ones who get saved and then sit around and do nothing. He talks about finger-bone Christians. They're the ones who spend their life pointing their finger at others. He talks about jawbone Christians. They put their mouths to work before their brains are in gear. Do you know anyone like that? Don't all look at me. Jawbone Christians. He talks about hip-bone Christians. They're the ones who sit on their wallet every week as the offering plate goes around. You can usually tell them they're the ones who are sitting a wee bit higher off the seat. Hip bone Christians. There are dry bone Christians, brittle bones if you like. The spiritual life has withered up because they are no longer in the Word of God. You see, as Ezekiel here is talking about the nation in his time, if we were to apply that to our situation today, it must apply, first of all, to the church. And I wonder today, have we become so comfortable in the church that there is no longer the life that should be there? I want to tell you something about this group of young people here. And I'm sure that the other two ministers would say exactly the same thing about them. We have been thrilled with them this week because they're filled with life and enthusiasm and eagerness to get out and share the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you young Christians, never ever lose that enthusiasm. Never lose it. Continue to be enthusiastic for the Lord because as William said on Wednesday night, you are not just the future of the church, you are the present of the church. And we who are a little bit longer in the tooth as Christians, who maybe have worked on making our Christian faith a little bit more acceptable, a little bit more reasonable looking to others, we need to learn from you younger Christians in the faith. And need to regain our enthusiasm and our excitement for the Lord. Surely that's what we need, isn't it? So that we're not tailbone, fingerbone, jawbone, hipbone, drybone Christians, but instead that we are backbone Christians and kneebone Christians. That we stand firm for the Lord in a day and age that has rejected our Savior. That we spend much time on our knees in prayer for those whom we know who have no interest in Jesus Christ. If we want to see our nation changed, if we want to see a hockle changed for Jesus Christ, I'll tell you where it will happen. It'll happen on our knees. Do you believe prayer makes a difference? Do you? I'll ask you that one again. Do you believe prayer makes a difference? Well then, let's pray. Let's pray for the lost. Let's pray that they will see Jesus through our lives. Let's pray that God will give us the right words to say and help us to live out our faith in front of them, so that they will come to trust in our Savior. Dry bones in the church, but there's also dry bones in the world. As we look out over the valley of dead bones, we see death, hopelessness. And every lost person is as dead as these bones. Romans 3 verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Once again, the question is asked, can these bones live? Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, and he has given you new life who were once, what? Dead in trespasses and sins. You see, if you came in here tonight, dead in your sins, the good news is that you can go out alive in Christ. Where there was death, in Christ there can be life. You see, Jesus makes the difference. And maybe for someone here tonight, God has opened your eyes. You see your need of life. Come to Jesus. Trust in him this evening. Confess your sins, and he is faithful and just and will forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's a promise. So if you don't know Jesus, if you're dead in your sins tonight, you can experience life. But perhaps you are a Christian. And at one time, you burned as bright as these young people are at the front, maybe even brighter. But that flame for the Lord has grown dim. It has diminished over time. And you need to burn brightly for the Lord again. You need to pray that the Lord will revive your heart, set you on fire for him again, that you may be what God wants you to be. God opens eyes. But God also opens mouths. Now listen, young people are loud, and there's no question there were times over the week, and boys, I was praying that the Lord would shut some of their mouths, but I'm only joking, Urianna. But the good news is that God opens mouths. Look with me at verse 4. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you. You will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. The Lord opens mouths. God not only opened Ezekiel's eyes as to the needs of the one who can supply for that need, but God also opened and used Ezekiel's mouth. I'm not only saying this to keep myself in a job, but preaching is an essential aspect in God's plan to save souls. Here's how Paul puts it in Romans 10 verse 14. How then shall they call in him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Now, we believe in the priesthood of all believers today, so therefore we believe that it's not only the person who stands in the pulpit who is to be the preacher of the good news of Jesus Christ, but all of us are to proclaim that truth. Why were the young people down on their hands and knees this week scraping out grass from between paving slabs? Why were they covered in muck some days because they'd been out brushing things and cleaning things. Why did they spend time going into four different areas to share the good news of Jesus Christ with children? Why? Because they realized it was their responsibility to proclaim God's truth. Ezekiel preached to these dry bones and they lived. I think it's an amazing scene here. These dry bones that were in the ground, these tendons started to attach to them and pull them together. Then flesh began to attach on over the tendons and then skin over the flesh. And then God breathed into them from the four corners of the earth and they got up onto their feet and they lived and they breathed. What an amazing scene this must have been. But greater still, not only did they stand up and live and breathe, but they became a great army for the Lord. It wasn't Ezekiel's power, but it was the power of the Word of God that changed that dire situation. All Ezekiel was asked to do was to obey God. And all we will ever be asked to do is to be obedient to God. Are we even listening? Listening to what God has to say? Matthew Henry said, "Those that do as commanded in the face of the greatest discouragements need not doubt success, for God will own and enrich his own appointments." The dry bones came to life when Ezekiel obeyed God's command. You know, we need to be alive as a church for the Lord Jesus Christ today. We need to be alive for him that we may stand together as an army and reach out for the good with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility. If you're lost here this evening, there's only one way to come to faith in Christ Jesus. Romans 10:17 says, "So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." God's word tells you that Jesus is your only hope for salvation. Without forgiveness, you will carry your sins with you to hell for all eternity. I came across this picture. I think it's an interesting one. Graphically, it reminds us that there's two ways. One way leads to eternal life and to heaven, and the other leads to eternal death and to hell. It's your choice. Where are you headed? You headed to heaven? Or will you be lost for all eternity? It's our responsibility to use our mouths to proclaim God's word to man. God is calling us to do this. He is calling you to do this. Do you know someone who is lost, who is going to spend eternity in hell, who is without eternal life, without hope, without Christ? Let me tell you tonight, God is calling you to be the tool or the instrument that he will use to speak to them. Let's pray that when he takes you and uses you, that he will save those souls. Lastly, and very briefly, God opens graves. Look at verse 12 with me. Verse 12 says, "Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them." The loss of hope is a terrible experience. For the woman who walks out of the doctor's office after hearing that she has cancer, what hope is there? For a father who hangs up the telephone after receiving a telephone call from the police and learning that his rebellious son has been arrested, what hope is there? For a husband or wife who can't speak to each other because of their depth of anger towards each other, what hope is there? Where do we go when there is no hope? Well, we go to despair, to the grave. We've now spent some time with Ezekiel at the Valley of Dry Bones. Let me take you to a different scene, and a different time, and a different place. Mary and Martha and all of Lazarus's family and friends gather for a funeral. The body has been in the grave now for 4 days and has begun to smell. They had called for Jesus to come early on, and he had delayed his coming. There has been terrible grief that they have felt over this period, made worse because they hoped that Jesus would halt this situation. But Jesus knew what he was doing. And he sends out a powerful message in what he did that day. He speaks to the body of Lazarus. He commands the body to come up out of the grave, and lo and behold, out it comes, to the surprise of all who were there. And then Jesus says to the people gathered that day, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he makes it personal when he talks to Mary and Martha. He says, do you believe this? Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. We don't have to wait very long in the Bible before it is the body of the miracle worker himself that is in the grave. However, once more, we find that God opens the grave. He leaves the grave clothes there, but the Lord Jesus Christ is risen. Listen, God is in the business of bringing life. It's the devil that brings hopelessness and death, but Jesus brings hope and life. What a message we have to bring. What good news we have to share. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Have you this life tonight? Are you sharing this life with others? What an amazing sight it must have been to see Lazarus come out of the grave, to see the risen Christ. It's just like seeing someone who passes from death to life. What a marvelous sight it must have been in Ezekiel's vision to see these dead bones start to reassemble and to become this mighty army. If you're without Christ tonight, God wants to breathe life into you. If your life has become or started to resemble this valley of dry bones, it's time for you to return to Christ that you may live out boldly for him. Why? What is this all about? Well, verse 13 gives us the answer. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. It's about God. It's about his glory. Let me ask you tonight, are you alive in Christ? If not, trust in him as your Savior this evening. We're going to close our service tonight. I went on a lot longer than I intended. It's funny, I practiced this afternoon at home, and it lasted 22 minutes. But tonight it lasted 29. So I don't know what happened there. But anyway, we're going to close our service as we sing, O Church, Arise and Put Your Armor On. Hear the call of Christ, our Captain.